Talk and Amateur Radio Society System Fusion Radio Net. This net operates in the Minnesota-Wisconsin room, number 21493. This is an open technical net, but please check in through net control. Your regularly scheduled net control, K0RK Chuck, is not feeling well, so with a majority of my net control operators, I was elected to do the net. So net control operators, in addition to myself this evening, are 80MIP, K9EQ Chris, and N0PXT Shane. The Balkan Amateur Radio Society takes its name from Earl Balkan, the founder of Medtronic. Earl was always interested in radio and is a founding sponsor of the Pavic Museum of Broadcasting. Earl allows us the use of his name because he was a strong supporter of learning, experimentation, and helping others. You can learn more about Bars and Earl at www.whiskeyzeromikedeltatango.com. The 444-075 and the 444-525 operate from the Medtronic facility near Highway 10 and I-35 West in Mount View, Minnesota. A chat window is available at hamoperator.com. Select MenWiz, then MenWiz Chat. At this time, we'll ask if there's any announcements. We'll ask if any station has announcements for the net. We need your name and your city and your state. Please call now. Not hearing anything at this portion. We'll start taking check-ins. It's one of those things that we've been starting off slow, so don't be sly or bashful. If questions or comments. We also have a buy and sell feature here on the net that we haven't done in several weeks, but anything for buy and sell Fusion Radio related as well, so. Need your name and your city and your state. Question, comments, or if you have any Fusion Radios you'd like to buy or sell, anything you're looking for, please call Net Control. Name, city, and state.
D9VP.
Well, I did have a calling station, and I thought I heard November 9, but your call sign did not come across the display, nor did any discernible audio. If you want to try again, we'll see if we can pick you up. Name, city, and state. See if we've got a November Sierra 9 Romeo Charlie, NS9RC. Go ahead, sir. Well, they may have been coming across November Sierra 9 Romeo Charlie's repeater. The station on that repeater, go ahead with your question or comment. Not hearing anything at this point, so hopefully everyone had a safe and enjoyable Halloween as we left you last Monday. Just a quick reminder, Yaesu is still running the Autumn Classic Savings in regards to some of their radios, and the repeater program is still ongoing through December 31st. The specials on the radio only go through November 30th, so it'll end at the end of November here. The FTDX 101MP, it's $100 off. The FTDX 101D, $50. The FTM 600, $40. And the only fusion-capable radio, the FT5D, is $20 off. That instant coupon program is available in the United States and Canada. For other customers outside the U.S., check with your Yaesu dealer. And also the DR2X. Trade-in is not accepted. $700 for the DR2X without the LAN unit. $900 for the repeater with the LAN unit. Anyone with any questions or comments for this evening's net, please call Net Control now. I need your name, your city, and your state.
Good evening, Otis. VK5JQ, with a follow-up from last week's question.
VK5JP, Pete, good morning. And thanks for breaking the crickets chirp here this evening. And being the icebreaker for the net. I was beginning to feel like a little bit... is this microphone on? But the computer issue, if I remember correctly, go ahead with your follow-up on that. Very interesting to, would be very interested, as well as some of the others here on the net, to learn what you've found out on that. The floor is yours, sir. Go ahead.
Boy, do I know that that feeling about the crickets chirping away in the background. Lots of ears and no one's pushing the button. First up, I've got to thank Chris, who spent a bit of time with Phil 30Y, and that's the chappy that's responsible for running a lot of our gear on his commercial servers. I must thank Chris there again and that for spending the time discussing a few things. Getting down to it, we ended up replacing everything by substitution on that to try and see if we can pinpoint the actual area. Long story short, DR1 replaced DR2, new cable, the new 10-pin cable. I had the HRI here and tested it, plugged it straight in. I already knew that it was not the issue, but we had to make sure that it wasn't at fault, which now left the USB cable and the two, and I do say two computers. We swapped out both the computers. We ran one that was on Windows 7 and the other one on Windows 10, which I believe the fault is still the same. Now here's an interesting part. I could activate and get the system to work on node voice and node control, but we've now managed to trim it down to, it looks like we've lost voice control and room voice and room voice control. Although the ports all check as being AOK, that is the issue that I've been able to pinpoint it down to. So it is still a work in progress. We now have got to get Phil to have a look. This HRI and the whole system runs on a cellular network, so we may have got a problem there with the data coming back to the site. So that's where we're at the moment, so I thought I'd just keep you posted. But two computers came up exactly the same way. I've now got access to those computers and I couldn't fold them with the setup. So the other thing that we did find out, Phil had installed a third-party antivirus software that may be creating some problems on those two ports. Back to you there, Ace.
VK5JP, W4IOD returning. Well, we appreciate the follow-up, Pete. I wish it could have been resolved. I'm glad Chris was able to help fill out in some aspects of that. And just like I told you last week, it's one of those things where I am impromptu. That is my official title. I guess I'll do when no one else is available. But Chris is the expert in regards to that, and just like Chuck is the expert when it comes to that control station. But we do the best we can with what we've got to work with here. But yeah, that's something I've never tried, to set an HRI 200 up on the cellular, as far as the internet service provider. So I'm sure that that probably creates a, at least it would be here stateside, as far as being able to do the port forwarding. And actually, thanks for the report on 7. I didn't know if that would be the issue, or the cables, or it could, like, I'm not even going to try to guess what Chris and Phil are working on here. It's one of those things where I ask if Chris, if you'd like to make any additional comments in regards to this, we'll glad to have the comments. Well, I'm sure we can all learn from it. But thanks for the report. K9EQW4OD, any additional information you would like to add to Pete's follow-up on this issue?
No, Pete, turned on this level here. Pete has it pretty much covered. Sorry about the noise there. I've seen this sort of a problem before where, you know, you can, a repeater or node can connect to a room and then audio only goes in one direction. So when you set up the WireSX software, there's a number of ports that have to be opened for incoming and outgoing. And they're fundamentally, it's a control channel, you know, for the ASU list server, and then you have for the room and node, you have voice and data. And the data is control information, like this is the guy who's transmitting, transmitting has started, transmitting has stopped, that kind of thing. And then the audio comes on a second, on a different port, which is actually a bad way to do it, because you can get out of sync, and it's part of the reason that, you know, transmissions get cut off if you let go of the button just when you're done saying things. You know, that audio, the control signal will get there to kill the transmitter, but the audio is still trailing along, and there you go. So anyway, there are these ports. The funny thing that's going on here for this site is that they can connect to the room, but and they can hear the room, but the room doesn't hear them. So this is outgoing. Usually it's an incoming problem. The port forwarding is not set up correctly for going out. You don't need port forwarding. It should just go out. So you have to go, to work your way through this problem. You just, it's like, troubleshooting anything. You know, you start at the beginning where you have a, you have a signal, and you go, punching along and until you get to the point where you don't have a signal anymore, and you go, aha, that's where we have the problem. So typically, these problems can revolve around Windows, and, some of its updates messing things up. There can be reasons the WireSX software refuses to do what it wants, like an audio card, but in this case, the WireSX software is behaving normally, so it's going to say it's not the WireSX software. And then you have the Windows computer, and Lord knows, Windows is not to be trusted with anything. But it appears like the Windows computer is working here as well. After that, it goes through a number of routers and, exits onto the internet, perhaps, and gets routed to wherever it needs to go and terminates. So it's kind of hard to trace the signal as it manages its way through the internet. Almost all the time that I've seen these problems, it's been a problem, the PC's working and stuff like that. That's where I go to first. It's a problem with consumer routers. And the consumer routers can have universal plug and pray turned on. Not a good idea. not have that on. The routers come typically defaulted with a bunch of options for Xbox, you know, make your Xbox experience better, even if you don't have one. Voiceover IP, you'd think you would want that turned on. But all these special little rules in the router are very complex scripts, and they can interact, and I've seen plenty of times where WireSX just won't work if you have these things turned on, and who knows why. You'd have to debug some esoteric code, and who wants to do that? Just turn off, generally a good rule with everything computer related, turn off everything you don't need turned on. That applies to Windows, Linux, routers, everything. Doing that and all the appropriate reboots usually fixes the problem with the consumer router. However, we're not dealing with the consumer router here. Here we're dealing with a commercial equipment, and to protect commercial installations, there's some special monitoring, and you know, you might call it antivirus software or something like that, but software running on these systems to help secure. I've run into a problem similar to this in the past where traffic, like for a corporation, that went out into the internet from that corporation would not turn around and come back into that corporation, and that was just a security measure. But here we know the control signal is getting out, just not the voice over IP, the voice, which is why I suspect there's a rule in a router somewhere that is causing this not to happen well. I'm not sure what's going to happen with this, but Pete there will struggle along, and maybe we'll be able to do some more experiments. There's a program called Wireshark, which is extremely useful when you want to know what's going on the wire. It's able to look at USB ports, it's able to look at Ethernet ports. It's a little complicated to use, but Wireshark is a handy tool there. I did want to mention a couple of other things here, so I'm going to do a little bit of a segue. And that is, I came across a newsletter that seemed pretty nice. It's called Zero Retries. And this is done essentially via email. You subscribe up to it, and the person who runs it sends out the newsletter. And digging around through past issues and stuff, it seemed like a number of nice articles in there. So I just wanted to let people know about that. I ended up finding out about it because I'd made a rather lengthy post with regards to, I don't know, digital modes, you know, Fusion, DMR, D-Star, that kind of stuff. And then somebody who saw my post and was aware of the newsletter asked if it would be okay to publish it. And that's how I found out about it. Of course, I gave them the okay. So the link for that is on hamoperator.com under This Week. ZeroRetries.substack.com is the address. But, you know, just because it's not that simple an address, I just have it up there. I've got the link up there for Twitter. Basically, I don't post a lot, but I try to mention interesting things. Don't know what's going to happen with Twitter. Lots of people are moving to Mastodon, I think it is. And just a reminder, if you're trying to buy a Raspberry Pi, I've got the Raspberry Pi locator up there. I tend to find out availability of Raspberry Pis after they're no longer available. But anyway, you've got the Raspberry Pi locator. You can see which stores and which countries have what, had what in stock. And then a long time ago, we were talking, several weeks ago, we were talking about Bluetooth transceiver, you know, Bluetooth headsets and Bluetooth, you know, for you can plug into a transceiver. Built into the transceiver. And I found the link to the one I thought might be a good one. And that's on there too. And I just wanted to mention a couple of other things. One was that several weeks ago we were talking about batteries for the HTs. And basically the Yaesu batteries are pretty good, but generally everybody seems to think BatteriesAmerica.com is a good place to go. And I was mistaken on one thing, and that is for the FT70. The stock Yaesu battery is 1,800 milliamp hours, and the battery from Batteries America is 2,200 milliamp hours. So I was saying, well, you know, just, you know, it's, the Yaesu doesn't charge that much for the battery. It's like $40, which I think is reasonable. Batteries America is a little cheaper, but 2,200 versus 1,800 milliamp hours. That's probably worth the difference there. So basically, those were the things I had to mention. I guess I'll do one more thing here, and that is, as I go surveying all the Facebook pages and things like that, sort of seeing what's going on for the week so I can report back here, not a lot going on. There's not been much activity on virtually all the different groups related to that I look at, related to Fusion and ham radio and stuff like that. But a couple of people are having problems with their DR1 repeaters, basically locking up with a 2400 hertz tone and things like that. And just a comment there, typically when that happens, what it means is the repeater needs to be reset. You kill the power, turn it back on again. It still happens. Just a FYI, be aware of it. It can happen very infrequently. Two nets ago, I had that problem here where I live on a hill, kind of, and I had to run down to the garage and power cycle the repeater, so I didn't have to drive to a mountain, which is nice, but it's annoying that that still happens. I've got a DR2X here, and the fellow that was mentioning this problem had a DR1, and it does happen on both, probably a little bit more on the DR1. So just so people know that the repeaters can lock up, you know, just be aware of that. Back to you, Odie, K9EQ.
K9EQ, W4IOD returning. Well, thank you, Chris, and for shedding some light in regards to the issue that Phil was having over there in Australia. And Pete, thanks again for bringing it to the net. And Chris, that's why we go to you. You research all that. Typically, when I try to play you, especially when it comes to port forwarding, I shut your repeater system down high. So it's one of those things where we allow you the opportunity to present that to the net, and we're appreciative for it. So we appreciate the information on the Wireshark and the Zero Retries newsletter. We'll have to take a look at that. And just a quick comment in regards to Windows Update. Yes, I've suffered that. It has affected me here running on Windows 11 and the other equipment that I'm running in here. The WiresX system runs on Windows 7 Ultimate, and I don't have any issues with that. I mean, knock on wood. Because it doesn't get updated, but it seems like every time they do a Patch Tuesday, and anymore, it seems like any Tuesday is Patch Tuesday, but it breaks something, and it managed to break something this time with mine, so I had to go back and reconfigure the Microsoft Windows desktop runtime that I need for JT Alert, because everyone's out hunting for Tango 33 Tango. And it just kept crashing. I'm like, what's going on? And that was the culprit. I reinstalled it, and it's back up and running again. So you gotta love the Microsoft updates. Let me let the system reset, and I'll make a mention of what I've been doing here since you said things were slow in the Fusion world. And this is your InProxyNet Control, W4IOD returning. Chris said that it had actually been slow on the groups. They had some issues with the DR1X and actually locking up and having to go back. And he sent me a little note. It's one of those things where some of us have gotten into this quite a bit, and others don't have the patience for it. But over on Facebook, there is a C4FM HF group, and for those that have never tried it or wasn't aware of the group, it runs on 29.250 megahertz, and you go into group mode, it's C4FM, You're up in the FM portion of the band where it's 12.5 kilohertz, and you beacon your call out. It's been pretty busy in regards to the weekend. The solar flux today was up around 131. I'd love to see it up around 160, but you got to take the conditions that we're all bestowed upon each day. But I was fortunate enough today to work Kevin over in the UK, 2 Echo 1 Kilo Juliet Papa, a little over 4,000 miles from me. So that never gets old. So if you haven't tried that, you can check that group out at C4FM 29250. That's pretty much on the weekend has a lot of folks beaconing. Throw your call out there. If it lights up blue, that's supposed to say that you're within communication range. But for those of us that know how 10 meters works, that your mileage may vary, but it's a lot of fun. At this time, I'll start rambling on and ask if we've got any one with question or comments. If you got questions or comments for the net this evening, I need your name, your city, and your state. Please call now.
KD9.
Leads me to believe that, let's see, looks like I'm doubling with someone.
9VXC.
All right, we've got Kilo Delta 9, Victor X-Ray Charlie. I think you had called earlier, and for some reason we couldn't get back with you. I think it's Jim in Illinois. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, see, I'm my name is Jim.
KD9VXC, W4IOD. Well, good evening, Jim. Broken audio and quite a bit of packet loss. I understand you just got your newly licensed, but welcome to the net. And if you can get into the repeater a little better, maybe we can actually hear you and see if you've got a question or a comment. Go ahead, sir.
I'm a 5-watt handheld.
We got, you're on a 5-watt handheld. Go ahead, Jim.
I'm not really, just listening and then we talk. I just have a final comment.
Well, you're making it into the repeater just barely on your 5-watt HT, FT70. But congratulations on your amateur radio license and welcome to the hobby. All right, before I put out another call, I'm going to brag on my friend Chris, K9EQ, and the exceptional job he does at hamoperator.com in setting that up. And for newly licensed individuals and for folks that want to learn about WiresX and C4FM, not only the WiresX portion but the hotspots and the different things, Chris has actually done a phenomenal job setting that website up, and he's had a little help with some of the documents. But just like setting a WiresX repeater up for 24/7 or a node, that'll work either way. He's got it for Windows 7 and Windows 10. I don't think we actually have one for Windows 11 yet, but the principles will be the same. There's just a plethora of information over there if you want to go through the tips and tricks, and he's actually got projects that you can actually look into, and he does an exceptional job keeping that up to date. In regards to learning, that is one of the goals and the mission here. We assist and help folks learn. It's one of those things that just it never gets old for me. I'm like a sponge with that, but I learn something new every day. So thank you, Chris, for keeping Ham Operator up and running. Now, before I brag on him too much, I'll break and see if anyone needs to check in. If you have any questions or comments for the net this evening, name, city, and state, please call net control now.
KE0YJJ, Rick, Pine Island, Minnesota. Closer to Roscoe, but Pine Island.
All right, I picked up KE0YJJ, and let me stand by here a minute, Rick. Chris sent me a note for Jim, a KD9VXC. He wanted you to know that in November Sierra Niner, RomeoCharlie.org is the local club. So you might want to check that out if you don't know about that already, and thank you, Chris. KE0YJJ, Rick, good to hear you on this evening. I've seen you quite a bit on FCA here lately. I don't know if you've worked at Tango 33 Tango station yet over there, but I'm sure you're looking for that. But that's not the subject this evening. Wires X and C4 FM, so go ahead with your question or comment.
Well, thank you, Otis. It's kind of a comment. You know, I've I'm always hearing people bad-mouthing Windows, and for the most part, it deserves it. But I want to say that I discovered something that made my life a lot easier, and I say this because hopefully it'll help out everybody else with Windows and Wires X as well, and that is, it is possible, Windows 10 and 11, to turn off driver updates. I ran across this because I was installing an Adrenaline driver for my video. I got a high-end video card in here, and I kept losing it. I thought, oh man, what's wrong? So I finally decided I'm going to disable the driver updates. And if you check out, just type in disable Windows driver updates in the Windows search bar, you'll find it. It's really easy, and it really will save a lot of headaches to turn off driver updates. Anyways, just a comment, I guess. It's not really, it wasn't really a question. So back to you, Otis. KE0YJJ.
KE0YJJ, W4IOD returning. All right, Rick, I'll have to check that out. That would probably save me and a lot of other folks some monthly issues in regards to Windows Update. Sure enough, that seems to be the issue every time it does that. But we'll look into that and try that out as far as the search window, which I've got Windows 11 set up in the classic desktop. I'll check that out here after the net. The only thing that I typically use Windows for is the amateur radio stuff. For everything else, I've moved from Debian over to Fedora Linux. Fedora 36 is what I'm on, so it works pretty good for me. But for the Windows folks, we appreciate that, and unfortunately I'm one of those customers as well that has to suffer through that on a monthly basis. Appreciate it, Rick. Break with KE0YJJ, W4IOD. Just a reminder, we meet here each Monday evening, and we discuss everything WiresX and Fusion related. We'll make this last call for the net. If you have any questions or comments, we need your name and your city and your state. Please call now.
This is Kilo Alpha 1, Charlie November Foxtrot, Steve near Rochester, New York.
All right. right. I heard one station there. Kilo Alpha 1, Charlie November Foxtrot. Steve near Rochester, New York. Good evening, Steve. Your question or comment for the net, the floor is yours, sir.
Okay, thank you, Otis. Yeah, it's just a comment. It's basically a follow-up to a question I asked here in the net a couple of weeks ago. I asked if anybody had experience with a fusion repeater in a high RF environment, and I got lots of good information from Chris, you, Otis, and Don in Texas. So last Thursday, put a DR1X that we had borrowed from another club to try out in this RF environment, and it works great. So there's a lot of people that were bad-mouthing it and said it would never work, and it made believers out of them. And it opened up some people's eyes to digital as well, because I have it set up AMS input and FM output fixed, and I would go on digital, and they would hear me mobile with the picket fencing and the noise and all the other stuff that you get with analog, and then I switch over to digital, and I had a crystal clear signal, so they were quite surprised. So made believers out of some of those naysayers there. So I just wanted to pass that information on to the net, and thanks. So I got to do my homework now and see how I hook up All-Star and Wires X to the repeaters. So when we get the one that we ordered, the DR2X, based upon the program that's available. We filled out the paperwork and sent it on Sunday, so that's what we want to do, get that DR2 in and hook up All-Star and Wires X to it. That's all I had for tonight. Thanks for doing the net. And back to you, Otis, from KA1CNF.
KA1CNF, W4OD returning. Well, Steve, we appreciate the follow-up in regards to your repeater setup in a high RF environment. I'm glad that's working out for you. And the All-Star node will probably be a challenge in regards to that. Here, we're blessed. I'm running a Sherry hat on the Raspberry Pi straight into the repeater, and for the most part, it's working out fairly well. I've had to actually move the Pi and the Sherry hat around to get away from the repeater output, because we are in close proximity and some of the C4FM even blowing past the PL tone that I have established, but it's a work and it is a process, and I think we've about eliminated that, but good luck on that, and if you would like to report back on that project, I know a lot of folks in the room would be interested in hearing that as well. So thanks for the report, Steve, and a very good evening. Break with K81CNF. This is W4IOD. Last call for the net this evening before we tie the ribbons on it. Name, city, and state. Questions or comments, please call out. I'll answer N9JTE, Marty's question over here on the chat. He wants to know if I use a certain Fedora distribution that includes ham radio apps or just the standard distribution. I pretty much install the apps myself. The bad part about that, Marty, is for WiresX, Chris has worked on actually transcoding that, the driver issue, and he has asked for assistance in the driver, so... About the only thing that that I can do ham radio related over on Fedora is the FL Digi. So it's a standard 36 distribution with a KDE desktop environment on that. So that's what I use. We appreciate the question. And at this point, I'll ask, thank everyone for joining us every Monday evening, taking time out of your evenings to participate in the net. And thank you for listening to the Balkan Amateur Radio Society System Fusion Radio Net. We ask that you allow a couple minutes for those stations and repeaters that would like to disconnect the room before picking things back up in it. And we'll see you next Monday, November the 14th. Everyone have a great week, 73. Thanks to my ColNet controls for all your assistance. Good evening. W4IOD clear.